Okay, welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
Still here, John.
Hello again, Otto. Otto's a member of the New Hyde Park Advisory, right?
Right.
Before I didn't say that. And we just had a wonderful segment on I Do Memories of Marriage. And it's very coincidental because now we have the town clerk of North Hempstead, Wayne Wink. And Wayne, one of his many, many responsibilities is marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just touch on that first, but then I have a lot of other things we want to talk about.
Good morning, John. Thank you. Absolutely. I am the official marriage officer of the town. Technically, the entire town board, myself and my two deputies are all marriage officers for the town. But I seem to bear the brunt of that, which is really one of the great parts of my job. I really enjoy what I do. And I've had the good fortune in a little over a year and a half to officiate probably close to 300 weddings. So, as a matter of fact, it's a cottage industry in the town of North Hempstead that I get to officiate so many weddings. And that's not counting all the licenses we issue, which are well over almost 1,000 a year.
Anybody getting married in the town of North Hempstead goes through your office to get a license, no matter where they're getting married.
Well, you can obtain a marriage license anywhere in the state of New York.
Oh,
but
okay.
And you can exercise it anywhere in the state of New York. Now, ironically, one of the things that's interesting about a marriage license, unlike so many other permits and licenses you can get from my office or anywhere else, is that there's actually a cooling off period. You have to wait 24 hours before you're allowed to actually get married in my office. Even if you come in to receive a marriage license, you gotta come back in 24 hours before you can actually have somebody marry you.
You know, you should really have. Do you have any idea what your track record is?
Well, I know I don't handle divorces, so I'm 300-0 at this point.
You know,
but
you ought to have a follow-up. They have to contact you in 1 year or 2 years.
You're probably right. That wouldn't be a bad idea, just to see how I'm doing. But but you know, I've seen all kinds of ceremonies. I've seen people come in t-shirts and shorts. I've seen people come in tuxedos and gowns. I've seen weddings where there's two people and they just want to conduct a ceremony in my office and be finished with it. And then I've had weddings where 40, 50 people have shown up and we do a whole big extravaganza in the gazebo across the street from my office.
Okay.
So we've run the gamut. I've had grooms crying. I've had brides crying. I've had both of them laughing. I've had one of them laughing. It's an amazing experience to be able to see how people react to some of the most important moments of their lives and to be a part of it.
Right.
Have you ever had anybody come in and object to the marriage?
No, but there were a few touch and go moments where I wasn't sure one or the other would want to go through with it. But those are thankfully the rare exception to the rule. Yeah, it really is a wonderful thing though to be able to be a part of.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Now, I just wanted to follow up on that one point.
Right.
You were a councilman,
I was.
A legislator.
I just was.
Go into a little bit of your background because you come to this position with just a huge amount of expertise.
Well, I had the good fortune not too long out of college, a year or two out of college, I had the good fortune of working for a woman by the name of Barbara Johnson who had just been elected to the town board in North Hempstead. So I became her legislative assistant. She was a councilwoman, and I was her assistant. And then after 4 years, she became a Nassau County legislator, and I had the good fortune of helping her get elected, and she took me on as her legislative aide to county, where I served for another 4 years or so. And during that time, while I was both an aide to the town board and an aide to the legislature, I was going to law school. And so I ended up graduating law school, and Barbara, unfortunately, in 2000, passed away. So I left county government at that time, went to private practice. But by then the bug had taken hold, and my love for government was such that a year later, in 2001, I was given the opportunity to run for the town board on the Democratic line, which I've always been on. And I was elected townwide with Mae Neuberger. She was running for her last term as supervisor.
Okay.
So I was elected to the town board then, served
as councilman. What district
were
you in? Yeah, but what district?
Actually, at that time, it was at large. I was the last members of the town board who were elected at large.
So it was just, okay, I didn't realize
so
that.
So in 2003, we shifted from an at-large system to a councilmanic district system. And rather than wait till my term was up, we agreed that my term and Fred Pollack, who had run with me in 2001, would cut our terms in half. In 2003, we switched over to the councilmanic district system, and we were elected in council districts at that point. At that point, I was elected into the 4th district, which is effectively about two-thirds of Great Neck, most of Manhasset, and a bit of Roslyn. So I had the good fortune of representing that portion of the town for another nearly three and a half years, until the opportunity arose after Craig Johnson was elected to the state Senate in a special election. I had the good fortune to run for his legislative seat, also in a special election. And I won, and I served in the county legislature then for over 6.5 years until redistricting split up my district into 4 or 5 different districts. At that point, though, I had the opportunity to run for town clerk for my current position, and I was elected townwide to that position. So I've been very fortunate that in almost 15 years of public service, I've had almost 14 years of public service as an elected official. Right. I've had a great deal of experience on the town and the county level, and I'd like to think that bringing that to the town clerk's position has given me an opportunity to really serve the public well.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Wait, it's just a quick question. Some of the 43 people that listen to this show may not know what at-large really means.
The town of North Hempstead is truly at-large. And by at-large, I mean the town is almost 250,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
We're only the third largest town out of the three in Nassau County. But we are the 5th largest town on Long Island, which also makes us the 5th largest town in the state of New York, and probably in the country. Townships, as they're constituted, are generally much more localized. On Long Island, towns have taken on quite a large, expansive area, both in terms of population and geographic area. So being at large for the town of North Hempstead means I run through all areas of the town, whether it be New Hyde Park, Mineola to Westbury in the south, or from Great Neck to Port Washington and Manhasset in between in the north. So basically the entire expanse of North Hempstead, almost 250,000 people get to vote for me. Back in 2001, they got to vote for me as a councilman, and now they got to vote for me as town clerk. So there are 3 townwide positions. The run at large, as they say, the town supervisor, of course, the town clerk, and the receiver of taxes.
Okay. Just a question, which I didn't even know any of this, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I just assumed it was always the districts.
Right.
What was the reason to go from at large to break it up? If you don't know, that's fine.
I think the argument was there was a referendum, and the public decided that they wanted to go from an at-large system to a council-make district system. I think in many quarters, the benefit of going to a council-make district system is that instead of having 4 or 5 people who represent the entire town, none of whom may come from a particular geographical area of the town, you're guaranteed to have someone who's nearby where you live representing you on the town board, as well as the potential for diversity and racial and ethnic minorities having an opportunity to elect someone of their background onto the town board without it being diluted by a town that may be much more homogeneous otherwise.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I just want to, I'm going to go back and forth, and we'll talk more about the town clerk stuff, but one of the major things from the legislature is you were on the Committee of Aging.
I was.
And
I was the founding. I was the founding chairman.
Oh, you are?
And,
okay.
Yes, and it only lasted for, I think, a couple years, and then when the other party took control of the county legislature,
those people,
they eliminated a number of committees, and they merged the Committee on Aging, because we used to be called the Aging Committee, and then we all started getting a complex. So we named it the Committee on Aging, but it was consolidated into a committee that also dealt with veterans issues and some other discrete areas. So the Committee on Aging itself, by itself, was only in existence for 2 years, and I had the good fortune of being its chairman. And in that capacity, we were able to do some exciting things. Unfortunately, much of the time I spent as chairman of that committee was not so much being able to achieve a lot of things, but to prevent bad things from happening.
Okay.
Because
but that's just as good.
Well, you're right.
100%.
I mean, there's a lot to be said for government not causing problems.
Right, right.
But unfortunately, that short tenure we had was the beginning of the recession, the Great mm-hmm. Recession, mm-hmm. and it caused a tremendous amount of upheaval in terms of government funding, whether it be from state and federal sources or even just from county sources, for various seniors' issues. And it really became an effort to just tread water more than it was the ability to find more dollars bring in for better programs and better services. So it was kind of frustrating in that regard, only because we were watching as state and federal grants were being cut and eliminated, and trying to hold on to everything we could to at least maintain the programs we had.
Well, that's one thing as a plug for Project Independence and Judy Bosworth. She's maintaining the services for seniors. I see, according to this, there's 25,000 people afflicted with Alzheimer's.
Yes.
And that's in Nassau County. Yes. So, I mean, within the town, you got to figure things out percentage-wise.
Right.
But those people are not neglected. I mean, there's a place to go, dial 311, and there's a place to go. And this morning in the paper, I think it was this morning, where a knifer is basically gave a warning mm-hmm. to Nassau County saying, you know, I forget the number, the $150
million. $65 million is what they want to see addressed before the county executive proposes his new budget, which is only within the next 3 or 4 weeks. So it's a very, very short window in which they want to see remedial plans for 2015 before they even see a plan for 2016. It's a rare occurrence that NYFA would step in this early in the process. Usually they wait till a budget is passed. I know that from experience having dealt with NYFA. But in this instance, they're very concerned about how 2015 will close out. And so they're asking, as a preemptive measure, that Nassau make cuts or find other revenues before they even propose next year's budget.
Go ahead, Adam.
No, I was going to say, talking about next year and, you know, the future, what do you see as the primary goals or what areas for improvement, if there need to be any improvements, of course, in the town clerk area?
Well, look, government these days is very, very difficult. We have a state-imposed tax cap, which I understand the need for because our taxpayers are taxed, pretty high to begin with. And so we need to control our spending. At the same time, while unfunded mandates from the state and federal levels continue to go up, and while our labor costs continue to go up, it is very, very difficult to maintain the services that we have and not be able to expand our revenue base in order to cover new services. So one of the great things that, for example, Supervisor Bosworth has done is to be able to maintain the great programming we have without really raising taxes to pay for them. And that really takes control of spending everywhere else in our budget in order to make sure that we have the resources we need for our seniors. So, the town clerk's office is no different in that regard. There are things I'd love to see. We are every day creating new efficiencies by reanalyzing the things that have been in existence for 20, 30 years in some cases, and finding ways to make it more efficient, more effective, to better serve our constituents as well as to better serve the businesses that do business in the town, whether it be tow trucks and taxi operators or things of that nature, that help us to allow them to do their business, but at the same time make sure that they're best serving our constituents in every manner possible.
Right. Well, just to maintain what you're doing now,
right.
A lot of people wouldn't want to give up some of the things you do now.
No, you're absolutely right. And we need to make sure each and every day that the way we're doing it is the most efficient way so that we're not finding ourselves having to make decisions of, should we do this or should we do that? We should be able to do both, and we will find ways to do it.
Right. Okay. Terrific. Actually, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Project Independence and You on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We're talking here with Town Clerk Wayne Wink, and we'll be right back.